Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hi, everyone. Okay, today was a double setter. I had one at 12, one at 4. I want to introduce you all to Dr. Is it Ravi Iyer?
Yep.
Okay, Dr. Ravi Iyer. Now, do I know anything about Dr. Iyer? No, because I don't do any prep work. That's not because I'm lazy, Dr. Iyer. I like to like test my brain. So anyways, we know that you're bold. You're bald, I think. Alyssa's here in the back.
I'm bold too.
So you're the three B's, and that's what we need. You're a triple B. Brave, bold, and
bald.
So can you introduce yourself to everyone?
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Adrian, for having me. I'm Dr. Ravi Iyer. I'm an internist practicing in Northern Virginia, Fairfax and Loudoun County, to be precise. My clinic is called the Iyer Clinic, and it's part of a larger group here in Loudoun County. And apart from that, I'm a 3-time TEDx speaker. Most of my TEDx speeches go past 1 million views. The first one crossed as of this morning, it's passed 2.4 million views in about 6 months. And it was the third most viewed TEDx talk that was released in 2024. It is still the third most. At the rate at which it's climbing, it may become more than third. The one that is currently got released on May 5th, it has crossed 1.6 million views in 12 days. So the reason for that kind of virality is because my talks get shared to a very large student population in India and Southeast Asia. And, you know, students being the way they are, they share it and reshare it and they talk about it. And most of the student population resonate with the kind of ideas that I talk about because those are relevant to the problems that the younger generation face. It's kind of odd that an older man like me should be able to talk in language that, you know, resonates with the younger crowd, but that's just the way it is. I'm also very big on education. I run educational programs, two especially. One called Education Without Borders, which is very little like, we borrowed the concept from Doctors Without Borders, and I am a doctor anyway. Education Without Borders gives free educational lectures on Zoom to student populations all over the world. We just started with our first school, my own alma mater that I graduated 50 years ago. And so I'll be speaking to about 300 students on the concept of what constitutes focus, what is the basis behind a performance mentality, and what drives the keys of learning. So, easy conversations on very powerful topics, but presented in a way that a student can understand and apply directly. And I'm I mean, that idea of the Education Without Borders, I'm going to be recruiting a lot more of my colleagues who graduated along with me. They're all top professionals in different fields, IT, management, engineering, commerce. And we're going to start rolling this out school after school. It'll be like a traveling, rotating circuit speech. The other thing that I do more locally is called IFLY. It's an acronym for Ideas of Future, Leaders and Innovators. And IFLY is an enhanced idea platform for high school and college students to showcase the ideas that they wish to carry forth in their future in a way that grabs the attention of admissions officers in high-level universities. So that's what I do.
Amazing. What exactly is the performance mentality? What is a performance mentality?
The ability to pick a path and stay on it past life's surprises is the hallmark of a performance mentality. People talk about that as focus. People talk of that as passion. People talk of that as commitment. But basically, at its very core, it is a laser tenacity which is resilient to distraction. But it is not like a rhinoceros going one track. It is resilient to distraction, but can pivot with great flexibility as long as the focus remains on the end goal, the destination. That's a performance mentality.
Okay, so I see. Okay, so when I looked at your TEDx, it's pretty incredible, 2.4 million. All right, so I have that one from, I'm looking to see.
October last year.
Yeah, October, yeah, 6 months ago. Amazing, the power of intentional focus. What was that like? And were you surprised to get, I just want to, actually, hold on, I'm not going to play it, but I want to just stream it. Hold on, I want to just show, because I'm fascinated with this. This is huge. So I mean, how long did it take you to prepare?
Like,
oh, you look so great up
Zoom
there. And I love your tie. It looks
close,
like a fun
right
tie.
Right next to you. Like this.
Like, so this is your, like, I want, can you give me some background?
I grew up
in
India.
How long it took? What got you into
and
focus?
Every day, I'd sit at a roadside hall like this.
You're going to have to
eat a hot breakfast. And I would watch.
Oh, can you hear it?
The elephant keepers or
okay,
the mahouts, as we call
it.
Them.
Okay, there we go. I did not hear it. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I was surprised it went viral like that. I'm not surprised in retrospect why it went, because I got some unexpected boosts. The first boost was that I shared it to my high school principal, and she was so excited that one of the alumnus had a TED talk that she called all the students into the auditorium and they had a watch party. So there were 5,000 students in India watching my TED talk, and they all shared and reshared it. Now, India has 25% of the world population. Now, the world population is 8.8 billion. And so 25% is 2.2 billion. So, you know, you don't need to get too much to get to 2.4 million when you start having the youth of India, and the majority of 60% of India is below the age of 30.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting.
India is very young. So as a result, you have a young population, mobile technology savvy population, and prone to sharing prolifically on WhatsApp and social media. It just went viral from there. But I got an unintentional boost from TED. So I wrote, when I got my first TEDx talk, I wrote a book called The Road to the Red Dot. And The Road to the Red Dot was a chronicle of my journey to my first TEDx talk, where I described how I got the opening letter, and then how I was excited, and how I was nervous, and how I prepared, and all of that. And I started posting these articles on blogs and my newsletter to my 5,000 patients every two or three times a week, starting from 90 days before I gave my TED Talk. By the time I gave my TED Talk, I had written enough material to compile it into a book, and I posted it up on Amazon. But the cover I used was a picture of a man standing on a red circular carpet with the words TED behind him. So, I mean, I just went to Shutterstock and I pulled out one of their pictures that was copyright free. But I did not realize that TED would object to that. TED objected to my using the TED and the red circle as a because it said that's we didn't license you the permission to use it on your book, and you are making money out of our name. So what they did, and this is the interesting thing, they did not tell me take down my book. Instead, they just took my talk down. Now my talk has nothing to do with my book, but TED's action was, I'll take your talk down, and then did not even notify me why they took the talk down. So on January 7th, it was at 1.2 million views, and it suddenly went dark. And I didn't know why it went dark. So I was all confused, but one of the things that I always believed was the greatest thing in life is sunlight. So I just went online and I said, hey, guys, see, I remember very an interesting episode from college. In college, in medical school, when we all joined on the first week is called hazing week. We all were hazed. All the boys would be hazed. And one of the hazings was we would all be forced to march in our undies across the college yard. All right, right in front of the ladies' hostel. And we would, so all the other guys would get all embarrassed about being stripped down to their undies. And I said, you know, the only thing that's giving all these senior students great joy is my embarrassment. So to hell with it, I pranced with my undies, strutted and made a big show out of it and walked around. And everyone loved it. And even the ladies loved it. I got a few dates out of it. So, no, that was back in college when I was just a 20-year-old. So long ago, I realized that if you actually go up and say, hey, this is what happened, and don't be embarrassed about it, great things happen to you. So I just went on LinkedIn and I posted that. I don't know why TED took it down. Nobody explained it to me, and I'm wondering why. But anyway, I wrote a big book about it. You guys can read about my book. So then I get a call from the general counsel of TED that says, this is why we took it down. I said, oh, why didn't you tell me the first time around? You didn't have to take my talk down. I would have taken my book down. So dumb, I took my book down. I said, no, we don't need to take your book down. Just put a disclaimer and change the cover. I said, fine, why don't you say this? Why do you have to be so sneaky and passive aggressive about it? You know, it's like infantile, it's like kids, all right? So then they did that. They did that, and then they put my talk back up. When they put my talk back up, I said, hey, Ted, put my talk back up. So everyone were curious, what is this great talk that took it down and then put it back up? So it went on. But that's not all. So when it went viral, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to actually make a second TED talk out of the first one. And the first one was, the my experience is that, hey, when I went online and I posted something like TED, I suddenly realized that all these platforms, these digital platforms, they literally control us by our desire for their attention. And so my second talk became about the attention economy.
Oh, can I find that? I want to find that.
Yeah.
That's on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube too. So, and that's the one that's gone across 1.6 million views. Ooh. So I said that the attention economy that we all have, if you go to my website, it's there, TEDxUMKC.
Okay. Because I don't see the book there for, let me see. So for your website.
The book's name had to get changed from Road to the Red Dot to The Art of Viral Speaking.
Oh, okay.
It's there on my website.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hold on for 1 second. Oh, I see it. Okay, hold on. I know this is weird, kind of a Zoom-ish thing, but I want to share this because I think it's really cool. Okay, guys, so if you go to the website,
www.thepowerofconnection.
Yeah, look right here, The Power of Connection. So this one actually was first, and The Power of Focus was second, right?
No, The Power of Focus was first.
Okay.
The second one is Power of Connection.
Oh, look at this. Oh.
And if you click on it, it'll open the car.
Look at that, guys. 1.6 million views. Wow. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to listen. Oh.
So the second talk I gave was on that. And I said that we are living in a digital attention economy and we are becoming slaves to it. And that, so my experience with TED taking my talk down made me realize that how dependent we are on the approval of social recognition. And I said, this is not the way it is. So one of the statements I made was, it is our light that shines on the stages of our life, on the digital stages of our life. The digital stages of our life don't give us prominence. We give that prominence. Jeez. And I stood up and I spoke about that. Then the third talk that I gave was, what is it that really makes for virality? And I said that the thing that really makes for virality is human connection. And so then the three things, focus, connection, and community. Human community makes for virality, but a community will not spread your message unless you connect with them. And to connect with them, you need to have focus. That's it. And that is the principle of performance anyway. Whether you are in a company, you need to have focus on your goal, on your mission. You need to be able to connect with your customers. You need to be able to connect with your subordinates. You need to be able to connect with your superiors. You need to be able to connect with your teams. And you need to be able to create a community, both internally within the company and externally with your customers. Once you do that, focus, connection, community, you'll perform anywhere you go. That's it.
I love that. But we are in the age where so many professionals have ADHD, or so they say. Not sure if it's a new thing.
Me too.
how do you focus with ADHD? Because I feel like they're two different things, but I could be, I'm not an expert, or nor do I actually have it. So I'm not sure exactly.
So you have to develop a muscle. Just like when you are out of shape and you have to go to the gym and you have to work at building muscle, you have to do a set of exercises, you have to lift weights in a structured way, in a pattern, in a regular committed way. Like that, you have to develop a mental muscle, and that mental muscle is the power of attention and what you give attention to. I have ADHD. I also have Asperger's, so I'm combined. I didn't get diagnosed with it. I grew up in a country where those two words were not known when I was growing up. So I struggled with it all through my life, wondering why I could be smart enough to figure things out, but still I would have problems executing, whereas everyone else who are less smart than me would execute and actually win the prize. And I would struggle. But I didn't understand that. And so I just worked harder and harder until I could fly with these 20-pound weights on my legs, but I flew anyway. But later when I understood, and what I understood was, we all live life, we have two aspects to our personality. One is the ability to be aware of the events of our life. The events of our life come as stimulations to our five senses. Light hits our eye and gives us color and form. You know, molecules drift up your nose and give you smell. Molecules fall on your tongue, give you taste. Molecules strike your skin and give you touch. Air molecules strike your eardrum, give you sound. And out of these impacts of your environment, you perceive reality. But then you have a second part that makes a story out of it, that makes a judgment, an assessment, a preference, a like or a dislike, and out of that like and a dislike, a relative valuation scale, and then out of that, a certain set of choices that you make. Most people are not even aware of the perception; they are aware of only the meaning, and that meaning is the spinning whirlwind of lack of ADHD thoughts. That's meaning that you make. That is the lived experience. It is the description of your perception. And people with ADHD basically have a meaning-making machine that is spinning out of control. So what you do is, how do you control that? You control that by exercising the ability to just be aware of perception. A meditation exercise is just being aware of perception. A Japanese tea ceremony is a complete observational exercise. There is no meaning in that. You are attentive to the process of making tea and drinking tea and offering it to the other person. A calligraphy, a painting. So observational exercises are exercises that exercise the mental muscle of awareness, as opposed to the mental muscle of making meanings. Making meanings spins you out into a description of your life. Being perceptively aware spins you into experiencing life. Now, joy, satisfaction, excitement, vitality, vivacity, all of that resides in experience. A person who's caught up in the meanings of his life is like a person who goes to a restaurant and instead of eating the meal, decides to eat the menu. The menu is the description of the meal. Most people live their life eating the menu and wondering why their life is tasteless.
Wow.
So that is basically the process by which you gain control. That is focus. When you are able to be attentive to the observation, and then you can actually see the meanings that pop up, and you can decide which meaning you want to give the attention of your mind to. for the next 5 minutes or the next 5 days or the next 5 months or the next 5 years. You can decide which meaning you want to make as the purpose of your attention.
This is so interesting. So I'm going to share with you, and I'm not sure if I was being smart or being silly, because it could have been either way. But about 8 years ago, I wanted to get to the point. I was also with Toastmasters, love Toastmasters. And I wanted to get to the point where focus meant for me that I could sit for 8 hours in a workshop or conference, whatever that looked like, and actually stay focused. And one of the things that I realized in order to do this is I needed to sit towards the front or the front row, sit next to, try not to sit next to anyone that was using their phone, right? Like any distractions. And if that person started to distract me, I will just move to another area. So unfortunately, sometimes I've had to go all the way in the back. By the way, if you're going to be distracting, can you sit in the back and not the front? But anyways, so I had to find a seat in the back. But I got to the point where I was able to do it. I felt like it was a strong thing that I could sit for 8 hours, granted bathroom breaks, a lunch break, whatever, but I stayed focused. I got off the phone.
Yeah.
Right. And even writing notes was like quick shorthand, even though I can't really read my notes because I should be a doctor. I can't read my own handwriting. But is that, was I thinking the right way? Was I being smart or silly doing something like
that? The beginning of focus is the removal of distractions. So the first thing you do is remove external distractions. Then later, when you become skilled, you start removing internal distractions. But you have to begin with first outside yourself before you can work with inside yourself.
Okay, so then let me clap myself on the back. Dr. Iyer. This is, if you're a doctor out there, don't be upset with me. I'm asking Dr. Iyer. Dr. Iyer, a lot of times people will say, I went to see my doctor. They really weren't focused on me. They were on the computer typing in notes. So I find it so interesting that you're an internist and also talk about focus. So when you are seeing your clients, are you like dead on focused with what they're saying?
So I use certain tools that help me disregard the need to document. I use a voice transcriber that is automatically transcribing my conversation with the patient into text on my phone. So that frees me up to not be concerned about documenting my conversation. And the notes are being generated automatically through an AI transcriber is operating automatically in the room with me as I'm talking. So that frees me up to talk to the patient. And after I leave the patient, I open the phone and I find that the context has already been transcribed into a note. I just had to cut and paste it and it's done. So it's a application I use called freed.ai. Cost me $30 a month and saves me 3 hours in a day.
Oh, I love that. Dr. Erica O'Donnell, I love my doctor. She's quite sexy with her boots and I love her, but she will like transcribe everything into, but not after she's talked to me.
Freed.ai.
I love that. Okay. Could you explain, because a lot of people may have, not everyone needs an internist. So can you explain what that is? The difference between your general doctor or practitioner?
Oh, internal medicine is a doctor for adults. I see patients from 14 to 114. I never had 105. The oldest I've had is 106. Amazing Chinese man, 106. So I just say, you know, for speech sake, I'll say 14 to 114. But I see patients in that group. And so an internist is basically like a general practitioner, but, you know, I'm not like family physician where they also do office-based surgery and they do midwifery or, you know, deliver babies. I have actually delivered babies when I was in India. I used to do that. But over there, the doctors do quite a bit more, especially if you have to go to the rural part of the country. You may be the only doctor for 100 miles. So you get to do a lot more. But that's who I am, and that's what I do. My practice is busy. I see, 20 patients. Today was a light day, but, 20 to 30 patients a day. And it's pretty, I've been a doctor for 42 years. So at this stage in the game, for me, I'm pretty mature in my craft. I go through my day with a sense of a certain level of ease that a younger doctor may not experience.
That makes sense, though, because you have the experience. All right, can we take a few minutes to go through your website? Because I just want to do that right now, and I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
I think it's cool. Okay, so I love this. So you have, I love this. So, okay, guys, on the first page, look at, so handsome. I just am loving this. No, you are. Okay, so there's a speaker video, and you, Dr. Iyer can be booked. So consider booking. Where do you like to, so you do speaking engagements. Can you share what that would look like?
I do two things. I deliver keynote speeches to groups. Usually in the realm of leadership and team performance. And I do workshops. And workshop, I have a workshop called Cognitive Alignment. And the second thing that I do is called Strategies of Neuro-Aligned Groups. But those workshops are about, in general, they are focusing on how do you get your entire team aligned in a way that allows you to perform well. One of my lectures, a full keynote speech of about almost 60 minutes, is there on that first page. If you scroll down, it is there for people to actually get a flavor of. Scroll up a little bit.
Oh, oops.
You went too far down.
Oh, okay. So
The work-life balance. There it is.
Oh, right here. Work-life. Guys. Okay. Got it. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so that was given to the Healthcare Leaders Association.
Okay, there's a transcript, guys, too. Oh, very cool. Ooh, and your marketing, for whoever's doing this for you, is doing a beautiful job, by the way.
I actually designed the website.
Really? Oh, it's
Beautiful. I designed it, and I designed it. I do it on PowerPoint, and I create little slides for every page. And I send it to my web designer, and then he builds it out.
Oh, my God. I'm loving this. Look, you guys. Okay, here's the workshop page. So love this. If you are listening on the podcast, you definitely have to go to the website. It's fantastic. And I love all the different pictures of Dr. Iyer. All right. So, and then, okay, and then this is your signature program?
That's the student program.
Oh, this is a student program. Oh, how important is this? Okay. And wait, what does IFLI stand for again?
Ideas of Future Leaders, Leaders and Innovators.
Oh, thank you.
I fly.
Thank you for doing this for our. So is this just in your market area, or can another school bring you in? What does that look like?
Yeah, most of any school can bring you in, but most of it is done through Zoom. But we also bring the students in. So the students, when they graduate, we actually give them a stage, and they are videotaped, and their talks are hosted on the iFly channel for life. So any college administrator can go to the iFly channel and look up a student who has spoken and get a direct appreciation of how the student is talking and how he performs. That really makes a difference, because one of the things that the admissions officers tell me is that, they have a hard time distinguishing one application from the other, because everyone looks so good on paper. So everyone is a 4.0 GPA, everyone is A+, everyone has done 20 different things. So on paper, everyone looks good, but they want to get a feel for who the person is without having to come in face to face. So having those videos of their performance up really makes a difference.
What a gift. What a gift. Yeah. It's good for them. Okay. I want to just go over your books because it looks like you have a lot of books. Okay. So which, by the way, is your favorite book?
The Reapers is my passionate book. It's a story of our clinic through the pandemic, the Reapers Dance, 1,000 Days of COVID.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a very honest story of almost 2.5 years of our struggle through the pandemic. And then
Hold on, because squirrels, it's so funny when the squirrels get to people, right? They're all of a sudden, and it's awkward. I teach corporate etiquette, so it's always awkward when you're like talking to someone and they are squirreling, like they can't help it. My heart goes out to them.
Squirrels in My Brain was written by with me along with two of my students who wanted to do a research project in my clinic. And we decided that why don't we write a book on neurodiversity and how to incorporate neurodiverse with neurotypical teams in the corporate world. So this is the first in a two-book compendium. The second part of this book is called Acorns of Wisdom that we are right now in the process of writing.
Acorns of Wisdom.
And Art of Viral Speaking is the banned TEDx book that reincarnated as the Art of Viral Speaking.
That's amazing. The art. Okay. Oh my, I love your second ache. Oh my God. That's amazing. Okay. And then these are the Reapers Dance, the squirrels, the art. But wait. There, I saw a picture of you with a variety of books. So do we have to go to Amazon
These books are still in writing. Like they are already past the outline stage. Several chapters of them have been written, and I can read them out. Acorns of Wisdom. Then just below the squirrels is called Neuro-Aligned, the Art and Science of Performance. My experience with TED canceling me and taking my talk down has been captured in another book called Cancel Culture, How to Build Your Uncancelable Self.
The titles are great.
That is the guy with the neck and a razor blade across his neck. And the head with the gears coming out is called The Man in the Meaning-Making Machine. And then the gladiator with his sword in the air is called Win the Crowd, A Physician's Handbook to Fame, Fortune, and Freedom.
Ooh.
And the last one called Eye of the Storm is The Art of Grounded Leadership. So all of these books will be out by the end of this year to the end of 2026. I've got pretty much, like, for example, Neuro-Aligned is in the outline phase. Acorns is right now in the chapter phase. Cancel Culture is in the chapter phase. Man in the Meaning-Making Machine, I've written the first chapter. Win the Crowd is in the outline phase, and Art of Grounded Leadership is in the outline phase.
I mean, your titles are so good. And then last, I love this. I was with Meeting Professionals International for like 6 years. I served on the board. And
oh, you were.
You're so smart. Yes, in South Florida. But I
so
love
So I did so this. Smart. If you go up, so you have three choices of three photographs. And then if you go down, you have my speaker one sheet. And then I have a document, it's a PDF file where it says a stage intro, my audiovisual needs, and my speaker bio.
Brilliant. So, brilliant.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what so many people I try to explain to them. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I love that. Where are you located?
Virginia.
That's right. You said Virginia. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is, and then, you're in the Who's Who. I am loving your website. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me walk. I'm fascinated. Sometimes I just want to see it now. You have been an extraordinary guest. Wow. And I definitely want to recommend you to a couple of other podcasts. So at what point did you look in the mirror and say, you know, I love taking care of my patients, but I have so much more that I could do to reach so much more people I want to do and then become a speaker and an author?
It started with the pandemic. During the pandemic, what happened was the clinic that I lead, IO Clinic, we were extraordinarily successful in managing the fear and division and the internal panic and conversation of our entire community of about 100,000 people. And so after the pandemic was over, it was the Thanksgiving of 2022. And a group of my family, we were all sitting in my front living room, and we were talking during Thanksgiving. We had all gathered, and we were talking about the pandemic. And I said that, you know, this entire tragedy of the pandemic did not need to happen like the way it did. 1 million deaths in the U.S. The U.S. had 200,000 more deaths than Canada, and and the only reason why we did it is because people did not know how to lead and how to manage the division and conflict. And that was what really was more lethal than the virus itself. So I said that, you know, I need to stop doing the work I'm doing one-on-one, and I need to take it to one-to-many. Mm-hmm. And on December 11th of 2022, I sat down and started writing Reaper's Dance. 60 days later, I'd finished the book. I'd written the book, and I tinkered with it for about another 60 days, and then published it, you know, in the month of May or June or something else. It came out in Amazon. And then I started talking about the book, and about 60 podcasts later, I said that I'm going to take my conversations to the TED stage. So I went on TEDx, finished 3 TEDx's back to back, and then decided that, you know, the best way to do all this is a linear progression. First, write books, establish credentials and authority, build a platform that you can actually. And then as I went along the way, I said there are 2 other things that I need to do which come naturally to me, and that is education. I've always been an academic. So I blend both. I teach, and I use the stage that I have on teaching to continually contribute and communicate the idea I have of focus, connection, and community, which is the principle that actually allows entire societies to move forward. And then I also speak about it, and that same principle of focus, connection, and community, when you take it into a corporate environment, you can connect people, whether it is neurodiverse and neurotypical, or you can connect high-performance teams. The principles becomes the same. And I have had people who said, you know, how come a doctor is able to do that? You know, the doctors are the best people to do this because we literally are the people who deal with life all the time. My job is not to diagnose. My job is to fix life. My interest is, how does life work? And how do you make life work when life does not work? That's all.
Amazing. So a podcast host, you need to have your own show.
I do have it.
Oh, you do? Oh, what is the name?
Stuck to Strong, and I'm going to have you on it too.
Ah, I would love that. Wait, so where is that? Is that on your website? Am I missing?
You know, go to YouTube and type the little at symbol, and type at, and on the YouTube search bar, type at Stuck To Strong. Stuck to Strong.
Stuck to Strong. Oh, congratulations on voting top doctor. Is this it? No. I don't think so. Oh yeah, it is. Okay, I got you. So are you on just on YouTube, or are you also on like
just
Spotify?
Just on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Very, very good.
It just started that. It's barely 30 or 60 days old.
Oh, congratulations. No, that is great. I love it. Hold on, everybody. I got to subscribe. See? Everyone subscribe. Let's support Dr. Iyer.
Thank you. Amazing.
No, thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation. I did again, I don't know who's coming on, but I love it. I love the fact that, so during COVID, it's interesting because I'm in Florida. So you mentioned 2022 and I'm like, wait, it felt like COVID ended in July, the summer of 2020, right? Like all of a sudden you couldn't wear your mask. There was like the mask law that no place could tell you, they couldn't make you wear a mask.
Yeah, Florida was different.
We were different here. And I also watched, I couldn't escape TV. Like it was drawing me in. So I was definitely under a ton of stress, but I started my podcast, Candid Conversations. I was just using it to meet with my friends. And then I thought, this is like a great way. Let other people meet my friends, and no prep needed began. So a lot of things came out of COVID, but what you have accomplished is amazing. Do you also help and coach if someone wants to do a TEDx?
I've gotten people who reached out to me to polish their pitch and things like that. I don't want to, so to some extent, I do want to stay in my own lane. There are too many people in the TEDx coaching business, and some of them are good friends of mine. So I just redirect people who reach out to me to them and say, go meet with them. But they are good. I myself had a TEDx coach. His name was Cesar Cervantes, and he's super, really good.
Cesar. All right. I have a question before we go. So I kind of understand cancel culture. I mean, I get the drift of it, but what would have been considered cancer culture, you know, before the term came? So 10 years ago, what would have cancer culture
looked like? It was called Scarlet Letter.
What was it?
Back in the Middle Ages, it used to be called Scarlet Letter.
Oh my God, it's similar. I mean, I know what the Scarlet Letter is.
Scarlet Letter was when you had a woman who was unfaithful, she would have to walk around with a big letter that said S on her back in red so that she could be ostracized in the society. So human beings are social creatures. And one of the things that the pandemic was so devastating about was it prevented people from connecting. So simple acts, you know, sitting 3 feet away from each other, talking face to face became dangerous. So as a result, people began to shrivel and wither. So it was as if the whole world got canceled during pandemic. We were all ostracized, you know, from each other. But the idea of exiling somebody from society, you have to leave this town, cannot live, go to the badlands, go to the desert, stay away. It was a punishment equal to almost death. It being thrown out of your tribe is emotionally at a psychic level is devastating. And for me, when that happened with TED, it shocked me because TED is supposed to be this platform of connection, of idea sharing, and they opted to ostracize. So that was so surprising and so antithetical to the TED ethos. And I actually told them that this is not, why do you have to resort to this kind of method to communicate your displeasure? All you have to do is tell people, right? You're dealing with some of the most intellectually sharp people in the world. All you have to do is Why do you have to do this? But, you know, that's the way they do it. And hopefully they'll change their strategies of getting their point across. But that's
the way the council does it, right? The attorneys do it. But maybe
it is so stupid. It is stupid because it is contrary to the fundamental ethos of TED.
Right. I wish I could have been there for that conversation. But thank you so much for your time and your energy and your thoughts. And this has been so great. As I said, in just a couple of weeks, this will turn into a podcast. You are brilliant, though. I can't wait to just like share. And I'm going to be your new stalker. So everything you write is going to be like shared by me. You're going to be like, she really reposts a lot. But I love it. I love everything that you do. Thank you for your time. I want to move to Virginia so that you can you could be my doctor.
You can reach me anytime. That's not a problem.
You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. And I hope to see you soon. I'm going to end the stream. And that was amazing.